There's a feeling in the air that you can't get anywhere except Milwaukee. I taste a thousand yesterdays and I love the magic ways of Milwaukee.
We're going to talk about the best things about Milwaukee this morning during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, January 25th. Many of us are familiar with Milwaukee's lakefront festivals during the summer, like Summerfest. But what else is great about Wisconsin's largest city? If you had only 24 hours to spend in Milwaukee, how would you spend it? What are the must-sees? Where are the must-eats? Maybe there's some lesser-known treasures, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our show was prompted by an article written by a visiting news editor from Fox News who came to Milwaukee earlier this month for a friend's wedding and found lots of local flavor and local fun in just one day, and she vowed she would be back soon. And I thought that we could also sing the praises of Milwaukee this hour, and I could ask you for things to do and places to see in Milwaukee, and I would make it my destination for my Tell Joy Where to Go travels for the coming month. I'm sure we will get plenty of advice and more information about the best of Milwaukee's many attractions from our guest this hour, Janine Sherman, Director of Public Relations for Visit Milwaukee, a convention and visitors bureau that markets the city as a premier destination for conventions, trade shows, and leisure travel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I am looking forward to another trip to Milwaukee. I do get to Milwaukee from time to time. I go to the Art Museum. I love the Art Museum. Was at the Pabst Theater most recently. Of course, I've been to Brewers games and Summerfest and some many other things. What do you love most about Milwaukee?
Well, Joy, you've hit a lot of the high points. I think what I love about Milwaukee is that you can come to this city and have a really exciting, vibrant, energetic, cosmopolitan experience. We've got all the major things that you want to find in a city-type experience. At the same time, we take all the hassle out of it. As you know, we're easy to get to. Once you get here, we're easy to navigate. The neighborhoods are close together. You can get into the best restaurant, the latest restaurant in town, without waiting in line for a reservation. So I think we really combine the best of all worlds here.
Yeah, tell us how this feature by the news editor at Fox News came about.
Well, actually, Natalia was, as you said, coming here for a friend's wedding, and they asked her to combine a little bit of business with pleasure and find out what can you do in Milwaukee, bare bones, in a short time, 24 hours. And she called us because we're the experts, and we kind of thought about it with her and said, okay, we're going to give you a list. And we couldn't even make it through the whole list because, as you know, there's just so much to see and do. So we said, here's about 6 or 7 high points. Let's try to get it in before your friend's wedding. She got a few things in, and she was really surprised by everything that there is to do here and the fact that, oh, my gosh, there's so much more than I even thought. And as you can see, she had such a fabulous time. She's telling us, yeah, I want to come back, and will you help me out next time? We're like, sure.
Yeah, well, tell us some of the highlights from her visit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the must-sees, as you talked about, obviously, it's our signature icon along the lakefront, and that's the Milwaukee Art Museum. It's one of those things that if you come here, you can't miss it for seeing it, and you shouldn't miss it for visiting. It's a beautiful building designed by the famous architect Santiago Calatrava, and it looks like a whale's tail or a winged bird set against Lake Michigan, quite stunning. It's movable, so when this beautiful Breeze Soleil is open, it's about the wingspan of a 747 airplane. They close it and open it at noon and then shut it again at night. And if you've never seen it, that in and of itself is extraordinary. But then once you get inside, the inner architecture is beautiful as well, and it is Wisconsin's largest art museum. And they have more than 20,000 works in their permanent collection, and everything from Haitian art and folk art, expressionist, modern art, a wonderful Georgia O'Keeffe collection. So really something you can't miss. And if you're going to be coming into town in February, they have a new exhibit coming up called Color Rush, and presents about 140 color photographs that kind of take you through the journey of color photography.
Excellent. So how about some restaurants in the vicinity?
Well, Milwaukee is a foodie town. We're a restaurant town. You know that. And we've got, if you've never been there, you know, we are known for having our German heritage and some great German restaurants. If you want to come, you've never been, try some of the classics. Obviously, Mater's on Old World 3rd Street. It's been there for more than 100 years, still in the same family. You can't beat their sauerbraten. It's amazing. Karl Rasch's as well has been in Milwaukee since the early 1900s. So if you want to get a classic taste of Milwaukee, those are two places I recommend. But we have so much new going on as well. People want to eat locally. They want to eat fresh. They want to find chefs that are doing new and exciting things. And we've certainly got an amazing food scene with that going on. It's almost too many to mention, everything from James Beard-nominated chefs that are running restaurants like Sanford, which is doing some amazing things, Lake Park Bistro with excuse me, French specialties. We have wonderful brew pubs that are doing great things, such as Hinterland, also Dan Van Wright, a James Beard-nominated chef. So you're going to find amazing high-quality experiences, classic experiences, and then some new ones that are some hidden gems that are coming out in the last few months. One we're hearing a lot of buzz about is Braise. And this is in our 5th Ward, which is a really up-and-coming neighborhood, a little bit south of the city. And Chef Dave over there is doing some great things with, he's calling it restaurant-supplied agriculture, putting together consortiums of local restaurants to purchase from area farms, and doing some really innovative things. He's got a culinary school that's opening, Bon Appetit, the magazine, he's been on their radar, so that's really exciting. Another one is Wolf Peach. That just opened last month, and that's in our Brewers Hill neighborhood. Lovely restaurant overlooking the city. You can't get a better view, and they specialize in food made with tomatoes, so it just runs the gamut.
Fantastic. And so after I have something to eat, I'll maybe take in some sort of performing arts. I understand you're proud of Milwaukee's performing arts scene.
Oh, my gosh. We have got something for everyone. And if you like classic, if you're looking to go to a ballet, a wonderful ballet company, if you want to see opera, we have the Florentine Opera. The Milwaukee Rep is one of the most respected repertory theaters in the nation, and they do everything from cutting-edge theater to classic fare. They've even been collaborating with the ballet recently. They've been doing some musical-type theater, so that's amazing. We have two big theater districts. We have the one which centers around the Marcus Performing Arts Center, and that's where we've got the big guns, the ballet, the opera, things, the Broadway series, so things that you're going to want to see and not miss. We've got our second theater district in our 3rd Ward. That's where you're going to find the Broadway Theater Center. That's where our Skylight Opera is. They do light musicals. That's where Renaissance Theater is. It's a little bit edgier. Next Act Theater, again, cutting edge. And then you've got dozens of theater companies and performing arts companies, smaller ones, sprinkled throughout the city. So you can see some really up-and-coming artists. You know, they're making their way and doing some really emerging things. So any given weekend, there is just a ton of things to do, and now is the season because we've got some really awesome shows going on.
We are talking with Janine Sherman. She is Director of Public Relations for Visit Milwaukee, and we are talking about what we should do when we visit Milwaukee. Maybe you live in Milwaukee. What are some of your favorite things to do? Favorite restaurants, favorite theaters, favorite museums, favorite hotels? Tell me where to go in Milwaukee, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be cloudy with scattered snow mainly this morning, then turning mostly sunny this afternoon. We can expect high temperatures today in the upper teens in northern Wisconsin to the upper 20s in the southern part of the state. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up later after 4 this afternoon, every Friday, it's Your Views on the News. You can call in and talk about what you think was the week's most significant news story. And then after 8 o'clock this morning, it's our regular Friday week. Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different viewpoints talking about the top stories of the week in our Week in Review after 8.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. Read us any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true.
We are talking about Milwaukee this hour. Many of us are familiar with Milwaukee's big lakefront festivals in the summer, like Summerfest, but what else is great about Wisconsin's largest city? If you had only 24 hours to spend in Milwaukee, what would you do? What would you see? Where would you go to eat? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Janine Sherman, who is Director of Public Relations for Visit Milwaukee, about things to do in Milwaukee. And I'm sure, Janine, you recognize that tune, Laverne and Shirley. Are you trying to overcome that image of just being a beer town?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, as you and I know, because I live here and you visit here quite often, we have overcome that image. I think locally and regionally, there have been so many progressive developments in Milwaukee over the last 10, 15 years, and the cityscape is completely different than it was back when Laverne and Shirley was on the air. When we bring in visitors from around the world, around the nation, when we bring in travel writers, such as when we worked with Natalia, our job is to open their eyes. A lot of times they may still think of Laverne and Shirley. We bring them here, and the great thing is it's this epiphany across the board. Everyone I've ever brought here says, wow, this place is amazing. And as we really like to say, Laverne and Shirley don't live here anymore.
Yeah. But you still have some great breweries, as you mentioned, and Sarah in Madison wants to talk about that. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you guys this morning? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, so you'd like to do the brewery tours?
Yes, Brecker does a good one pairing beers with cheese. Lakefront Brewery for, I don't know, I think it's like $10. You can go and try all their beers. Most recently, I went to the Milwaukee Brewing Company down on, I think, 2nd National and did an open house there. It was so fun.
It does sound like fun. Thanks very much, Sarah. So that's one of the things you can do. Yes, Janine?
Oh, absolutely. And we have some great brewery tours. And in fact, Lakefront Brewery, which is one of the ones that she had mentioned, has been ranked one of the top brewery tours in the nation by TripAdvisor.com. And it's so much fun. You get your beer before the tour and the guides. You'll learn a lot about beer, but you have a lot of fun along the way. A lot of them are comedians. They got some great jokes. So super popular, great Friday night fish fry, which I love. Milwaukee Brewing Company, one of our newer tours. They have a great setup there, really informative, some amazing award-winning beers. And who doesn't love Sprecher? Because I love that one because it's a great one to also, if you have your kids with you and you want to take them with, because Sprecher is also known for its gourmet sodas, which are absolutely amazing. Their root beer was voted number one root beer in the nation by the New York Times. And speaking of root beer, they just recently introduced hard root beer, and it's awesome.
So that means root beer with a kick.
Yes, it does.
All right. Well, that sounds interesting. Well, all this sounds good. It's going to be hard to pare it down. What about, I'm thinking of famous watering holes, taverns, bars, nightclubs.
Well, there's no shortage of that. It's funny because people always tell us they don't know if there's more corner taverns and bars or churches in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the saints and sinners are pretty closely related. We've got a lot of, like I said, corner bars that are places where people want to go and soak up some history. You'll find a lot of those in our historic Fifth Ward in Bayview, on Milwaukee's east side. And then there's some newer places right downtown. So you can really get the best of both worlds with those as well. one of the places, I'm going to go a little bit off board here because it's really unique and there's no other place like it, is the Safe House. And I think people out there listening might want to comment on that and have a near and dear place in their heart. It's a Milwaukee treasure. It's been around for more than 40 years now, and it's hard to find. It's located in an alley, and it's got a secret entrance, and there's a secret password to enter it. None of us in Milwaukee will tell you what it is. And if you don't know the password, there's some tests you have to take because it really is a safe haven for spies. And once you get in there, all the decor is spy-related, and they have historic artifacts. They have tongue-in-cheek things from spy movies. They have a shaken-but-not-stirred martini that goes in a tube all the way through the restaurant. You can watch it go through a secret phone booth where if you don't want the person you're calling to know where you are, you can have a background noise. And you can, you know, tell them a little untruth if you want to have a secret cover. So really a fun place to go.
It's been ages since I've been there. I seem to remember having to pull a book out of a bookshelf or something like that as a key to opening the door. But you have to have a password.
You really should know the password. Yeah, I mean, well, that's how they keep it safe.
Yeah.
You can't let anybody in.
let's take another call from John in Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Good morning. The MSO is the crown jewel of Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. It's certainly one of the 10 finest orchestras in the country, and if you watch carefully, you can see Isaac Perlman or Yo-Yo Ma there, and it's affordable, and it's underused, and it should not be missed if you're going to visit Milwaukee.
And, John, have you lived in Milwaukee for some time?
About 25 years, yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing the MSO. Is there anything else that that you think I must see or a visitor to Milwaukee must see?
Yeah, just a drive down Lake Drive is always worthwhile. It's cheap and it's gorgeous.
Yes, thank you.
All the way from Port Washington all the way down to Milwaukee, it's a gorgeous drive.
Sounds great. So talk a little bit about the MSO, Janine.
Oh, yeah. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, it's one of the oldest in the nation, one of the most well-respected. In addition to being in Milwaukee, they've toured many famous venues, not only throughout the nation, but worldwide. And it's an absolutely outstanding experience. They play in our Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, which I had mentioned previously. And you really can't get an experience like that anywhere else in Wisconsin. As he said, it's really the crown jewel of symphony orchestras here. And I would say if you are an arts lover or if you want to experience it for the first time, definitely check out the symphony.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening along the lakeshore during the winter?
Well... We do have people who love our Wisconsin winters and really embrace the cold. I'm going to be honest with you. I see people out there all the time when I drive up and down along the lakefront. We've got people that still like to go out and run and exercise. The ones that are doing that ski pole thing with the skates up and down, people walking their dogs. I think people are just enjoying it. It's got a whole different mood in the winter. It's still beautiful. You know, the colors still change and the lighting changes. And when you have ice, they make these almost sculptures, you know, from the way they freeze with the waves along the lakefront. So it's got what I like to call kind of a quiet beauty during the winter. And I think, you know, that probably attracts a person who's maybe a little bit more reflective, you know, who loves that time of year in the outdoors. So I like to drive up and down it now, as John said, just for that aspect of it. It's quiet and it's peaceful. And then, of course, in the summer, what's not happening along the lakefront?
You have a festival every other week, it seems.
Every weekend, and I'm not exaggerating. You know, once we hit Memorial Day through Labor Day, literally every weekend, and sometimes more than one. Often we have 2, 3, 4 major events going on at the lakefront on any given weekend.
Yeah, you have the nickname of the City of Festivals, yes?
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. Well deserved.
Yeah. So there's Summerfest and there's then ethnic festivals and, I mean, just any kind of festival going on with music and food and all that. I have to admit I've been meaning to make it to some of those festivals. I've been to Summerfest more than once, but not the others. What about in the winter though? I think I saw that there was some sort of Winterfest or something happening at least within the last month or so. Do you have winter festivals too?
We did have, it was the second year of our Winterfest, and that actually is an indoor festival.
Oh.
It's held in our Delta Center, which is our downtown convention center, a great event, family-oriented. It was the first year, I believe it was about a week and a half. This year, I believe it was a weekend event, a four-day event, and they had all different kinds of events. You could come and bring your kids of all ages, everything from climbing a rock wall to jumping around in little ball pits. There was a lounge for the parents so they could hang out, have their computer, you know, have some coffee, and enjoy a little downtime while the kids went and explored. So probably a little bit different than what you were thinking, probably an outdoor festival.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we don't have an outdoor winter festival.
Well, I'll bet someday you might. Heidi on Facebook has some suggestions, lots of them actually. AJ Bombers and their unique burgers, the Milwaukee Public Museum, the Discovery Center, the Forest Home Cemetery, and for sports fans, check out the Milwaukee Wave indoor soccer team or the Brew City Bruisers roller derby team. Wow, that sounds like a real varied varied day. What? Why would I want to go to the Forest Home Cemetery, Janine? Any idea?
Mm-hmm. You'd want to go there because I believe it is our largest cemetery per acreage, and it was begun more than 100 years ago, back in the days when cemeteries were more like parks, very beautifully landscaped with rolling hills, you know, when families would actually come and basically set up camp and spend the day with their former relatives. So the landscape's beautiful. It's very historic, and it reads like a who's who of anybody who was anybody in Milwaukee. So you can pick up a sheet at their offices and go out and meet some of these famous former Milwaukeeans. And one of the things I like to do, I like to take people to, is I like to go to the Beer Baron's Corner, which I think is so cool. There are these mausoleums that are all almost on a cul-de-sac. And you've got Schlitz, Blatz, and Schlitz, Blatz, and Pabst. All right there, you know, they're hanging out. Maybe they were competitors when they were alive, but now everything's cool. And they've got these beautiful mausoleums, and actually once every few years, the Blatz Mausoleum will open up for one day, and they'll let people come in and enjoy a cold one in there.
Oh, so my goodness, how interesting. Well, that is a reason to visit. We'll continue talking about why we should visit Milwaukee or things to do when we visit Milwaukee, and we're looking for your recommendations at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales Corner, Slades Corner, Abel's Corner, Newbrook Corner, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there. Hey, smell that dairy.
This is a Milwaukee-focused edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm looking for more of your recommendations of must-dos in Milwaukee at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll continue to take more of your calls and talk about things to do and fun places to see in Milwaukee in just a few minutes. But first, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Frigid winter days spark love among great horned owls. Nesting in January, they raise their families in the dead of winter. Commentator Ronnie Hess tells us how she delights in their nighttime hoots.
I'm a city girl. Born and raised in Manhattan, reared in an Upper East Side brownstone on the edge of Spanish Harlem. When I moved to Wisconsin for graduate school, I wanted to grasp what was for me a strange, alien world. Farmland. Woods. I joined an outings club and spent weekends clambering rocks at Devil's Lake. I went winter camping in northern Iowa, shivering through the night in my borrowed lightweight sleeping bag, quivering at the howls of what I naively thought were wolves. Over time, I learned how to dress for the cold, to cross-country ski, to canoe in and out of eddies. My life began to broaden. My connection to nature became more immediate, deep, and sustaining. Then I discovered great horned owls. I've never been much of a birder. I could never endure long hours in the field staying hushed and firmly planted, scarcely moving a muscle. The owls made it easy for me, One came to my house, roosting in an old hackberry tree just outside my bedroom window. It was late fall, 2 a.m., and I had never been awakened by anything as haunting. It wasn't a barred owl, the who cooks for you bird, but a great horned with an edgy, gravelly voice. He was probably marking out territory, calling for a mate. I liked the fact that he flew in when my husband was off in China. For nights I delighted in the idea of being courted. I'd open the window, wide. Since that night, more great horned owls have come into my neighborhood. Their huge outlines in the branches, backlit across the sky. Once I spooked one with my flashlight. You're not supposed to do this, but I couldn't help myself. Only to watch it lift off and soar on wide and powerful wings. I've wanted to call to them. Again, this is something birders frown on. For who wants a dance-away lover, a love that can never prove true? I delight in finding owls in unexpected places, in broad daylight on the path to Madison's Picnic Point, and not only in nature but art, most recently on a trip to Washington, D.C. At the entrance to the fifth-floor reading room of the Library of Congress, there are two brass owls in an unlikely roost, just below the ceiling, twinning the door, holding books with their talons. Wisconsin's first poet laureate, Ellen Court, once told me that at some point people are given their sign. It's a spiritual moment, inexplicable, like finding a soulmate, another being becoming part of you. Is the owl my sign, Athena's symbol, goddess of wisdom, the one who sees in the dark? It's odd, really. I'm hardly wise, and all my life I've been nearsighted. Perhaps that's the point, for at the Library of Congress, I virtually whooshed through the halls, breathless, ecstatic at my own owlish discovery. You might even say, on wings.
Commentator Ronnie Hess is a journalist, poet, and author of Eat Smart in France. Wisconsin Life is produced by Ann Strainchamps and Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from the Mead Witter Foundation of Wisconsin Rapids. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 19 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, January 25th. We are talking about what we love about Milwaukee, things to do in Milwaukee. A news editor from Fox News recently visited Milwaukee and filed a report on her newfound love with Wisconsin's largest city and, as she put it, its emerging food and arts scene. We are talking with a guest from Visit Milwaukee about that emerging food and art scene and many other things about Milwaukee. And we're looking for your questions, your recommendations. Tell me where to go in Milwaukee at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Janine Sherman, Director of Public Relations for Visit Milwaukee, a convention and visitors bureau that markets the city as a premier destination for conventions, trade shows, and leisure travel. And Janine, listening to that piece on owls made me think of nature centers. And I think you have, don't you have a wonderful nature center? Is it the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center?
It is, Joy. The Schlitz Audubon Nature Center is conveniently located about 10 minutes north of downtown, a beautiful ride along Lake Drive in the lakefront, as we've been talking about. So you get to see the lakefront, and then you get to see a lot of our historic mansions along the way. And it's 186 acres of pristine land. I believe it has six different habitats located right on Lake Michigan. So you're going to see beautiful undisturbed beachfront. They have prairie habitat where you can see some of the, you know, original Wisconsin wildflowers that you would have had before we all came here and dug them up and destroyed those. You've got a fabulous treetop tower which rises above the woods, and you have a wonderful commanding view of the city, of the lakefront, of the surrounding counties. The building itself, when you walk walk into the Nature Center is extraordinary. It's a LEED certified building, highly energy efficient. You know, that if you're green, that's a very coveted award to get. Built with beautiful field stones and timbers from the property, and they have a lot of educational classes. Speaking of owls, they have raptors where you can see these beautiful birds and learn about them and really just explore nature there. I love it because you can go and be very quiet and reflective, or you can take your family and take a great hike, you know, and have your kids learn about nature. So beautiful piece of property.
That is on the list just because I love going to places like that as well. I want to have a little bit of nature and a lot of the city too. We have some others who are recommending, sounds like they're nature-related places. Kate on Facebook writes, I recommend the Urban Ecology Center at Riverside Park.
Yeah, that is another great place. That's in our East Side neighborhood near the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Again, maybe about 5 minutes outside of the general downtown area, really close. And this one is a little bit different environment. You're going to see the Milwaukee River environment. And what I like about going to Urban Ecology, they too have a great building with a lot of exhibits. You can learn a lot there. But is that people don't think of our river as being in more of a natural state. It's, you know, we have this fabulous river running right through downtown with the tourist boats that go through. You can do a lot of things right there. But just a couple minutes outside of the city, the landscape changes dramatically. And you can be along the river and feel that you're, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles out in the country. It's absolutely beautiful, and that's a hidden gem.
Let's go back to the phones. Tom in Baraboo is with us now. Hi, Tom.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm terrific. I was born and raised in Milwaukee. I'm 68 years old. And anyway, to make it as short as possible, every city has its own little hidden gem, and one of Milwaukee's is a school called the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, which is down on the riverfront. And I had never heard of it. I was born and raised in Shorewood, and we had moved away, and my daughter only and my second kid wanted us to go to art school. So we went up there, and to make a long story short, that's a school that is just totally job-oriented. It's almost like they guarantee you you'll get a job. So the thing that's great about that school is...
And Tom, I'm so sorry because we can't really hear you. Your phone is fading in and out, so it's very difficult to. We got the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, and that it's a great school to go to. But is there anything that the general public can enjoy there?
In August, the seniors have a display there of the things they've created.
Oh yeah.
And it's open to the public. It has no cost. And it'll just, you cannot imagine how talented the youth of this country is until you go to something like this. You'll see things that are just amazing. And that's what artists do. They're the ones who've created everything that we enjoy.
Hey, you know what, Tom? I'm going to brag. My niece went to that school, and I went to that festival and saw her work and other work of students. And I completely agree.
It's just nobody knows anything about it. It's just amazing. I go every year, and my kid's been out of school for 5 years.
Wonderful. Janine, there's a hidden gem.
That is a hidden gem. That's a great segue for me. MIAD, Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, yes, fabulous school. Milwaukee's a university town, which a lot of people don't know. We have many major universities. And they have a great gallery there where the public can go in and see works not only by students, but by visiting artists. And they also have exhibits going on our quarterly gallery night in the historic Third Ward, which is the neighborhood that it's in. So four times a year, we open up the historic Third Ward, and the rest of the city have great gallery hopping. If you don't happen to make it there during gallery night, the ward is home to the most art galleries in the city of Milwaukee. And that runs from small indie galleries to larger, well-established artists. We have a whole building, the Marshall Building, which is full of artist studios. You can go in there. You can watch them work. You can purchase a piece from them. So MIAD is just the tip of the iceberg if you're really interested in visual arts.
Excellent. Here, Krista on Facebook writes, I don't remember which bridge it is near, but I like the lighted fish sculpture on this one building downtown facing the river. It's maybe 10 fish drawn with neon light tubes and bubbles and seaweed. The lights change so it looks like the fish are swimming and the bubbles are rising. Do you know what she's talking about?
I do know what she's talking about. That's right downtown, right off of the Wells Street Bridge. It's on a big wall. It's right near the Rock Bottom Brewery, and that is part of our Riverwalk art display. Our Riverwalk in Milwaukee is award-winning, takes you right through downtown. It's beautiful to do any time of year, and they have many different permanent art installations and also changing art installations. So it's a great place where as you walk along, you discover all these wonderful pieces of art, and that is one of them.
Is that where the bronze Fonz is?
That it's actually right across from where the bronze font is, and I'm glad you brought him up. He's one of our great popular tourist attractions. He's right on the Riverwalk, and you can't leave Milwaukee without taking a thumbs up photo with the Fonz.
Yep, I've done that too. But and we're looking for more ideas of things to do in Milwaukee from you. What do you like to do when you visit Milwaukee, or if you live in Milwaukee, what should we be sure to see? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's going to be a cloudy day today with scattered snow mainly this morning, then turning mostly sunny this afternoon. High temperatures, upper teens in northern Wisconsin, upper 20s in the southern part of the state. Coming up, we will talk with the co-authors of the book Org, The Underlying Logic of the Office. They're going to tell us that a lot of the dysfunction in our workplaces actually has a purpose and actually can be beneficial. We'll find out why coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now we are asking you to tell us what you love about Milwaukee. If you had only 24 hours in Milwaukee, how would you spend those 24 hours? What would you visit? Where would you eat? Where would you stay? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Phil in Golden Lake is with us. Hello, Phil.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Maybe not exactly the season for this, but I'm looking forward to spring coming and riding on the Hank Aaron Trail again. It's not all that easy to find. There isn't a lot of great signage for it, but it's a new recreation trail, about 2 years old. It follows an old railroad grade, runs east and west. Right now, roughly from 94th, the paved part from 94th to 39th, with only a couple of road crossings. It's going to be extended all the way east to the dome, so that's about another mile, which will make it the paved part about 5 miles long. That's going to be done this spring. And you get to go past a great view of Miller Park, a great view of the incredible architecture at the Veterans Home. You bike past Harnischweiger's plant, where sometimes there'll be like gigantic mining machines on railroad cars outside of it. From out here in Golden Lake, I can now bike 40 miles to the lakefront and 32 of it on a paved bike trail connecting the Bromelain with the New Berlin Trail east of Waukesha and then connecting to the Hank Aaron Trail.
Wonderful, Phil. And before we get a comment from Janine, we have another listener who likes another trail in Milwaukee. So let's hear from Mark in New Berlin. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The Oak Leaf Trail is one of my favorites. I believe it started in 1976, and it's 76 miles all the way around Milwaukee County, and it goes from the lakefront out to the county line. It's fantastic. And you've also got the Milwaukee River is fantastic in the summer. If you don't have a boat, there's people renting pontoon boats on the river, and every drinking establishment and restaurant have docks on them, and it's just all evening long until closing time. It's up and down the river. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful way to spend a summer day. We've got the kite park on the lake. The Milwaukee River north of North Avenue is fantastic for kayaking. I do it a lot. You can imagine yourself being out in the middle of who knows where instead of being inside of an urban area.
Yeah, sounds like it. It really, a lot of listeners who love to do things in Milwaukee that are very nature related, Janine. Lots of hiking and biking and recreational trails.
Absolutely. I'm really glad we're talking about that. Hank Aaron Trail in our Menominee Valley is part of the Oak Leaf Trail system, more than 100 miles of bike trails, and that encompasses dedicated trails and also takes you in and out of neighborhoods, so you get to see a lot of things in the city. And Hank Aaron, as he mentioned, one of our newest, I love that one because it takes you through some natural areas, also takes you past an area where some of our largest attractions are, more don't miss, Potawatomi Bingo Casino, our Vegas-style casino, and, of course, the Harley-Davidson Museum, which is going to be celebrating the 110th Harley anniversary later this year, so two great don't-miss places. And then also the trail will take you along the lakefront past Lakeshore State Park, which is a relatively new park, amazing, kind of between the Summerfest ground and Discovery World, past the Art Museum. You know, then you'll go up along the lakefront, then you'll get into some of our neighborhoods. So a really diverse way to see the city.
Bill Martins, my producer-director, just reminded me that there are only 66 days until opening day for the Brewers, so some people are counting counting down for that. And, I mean, that's got to be a great experience. I mean, I've been to Brewers games, but you could make a great day out of it. Go, you know, go check out some sites in Milwaukee and catch a game, too.
You really can, because as you know, the stadium is very close to the downtown area. We get a lot of people traveling to see a Brewers game, and then they'll stay overnight to experience the rest of the city, as you said. I mean, and a Brewers game is fabulous because I think it's one of the most perfect family activities. You can go early. You can enjoy a tailgate experience. We have people that cook gourmet food out there. It's amazing. You can hang out with the Racing Sausages. They have a kids zone area where kids can do a lot of baseball-related activities. And who doesn't want to come on and cheer the Brewers during summer?
Yeah, and then should I stay at the, is it the Pfister that's haunted? Is that the haunted hotel in Milwaukee?
Oh, well, so we hear the Pfister is one of our most historic properties. It was built in the 1890s. It's rumored that Charles Pfister still hangs out there, and you can see him around. And if you've been there, who wouldn't want to? It's a four-star at the Grand Dame Hotel. Every dignitary from, you know, the past century and more has stayed there. It's absolutely stunning, has the world's largest Victorian art collection in a hotel, so the walls are like walking a gallery. You see these beautiful paintings that are lining them. And in addition to that, it's got some really great modern things as well, great restaurant, Mason Street Grill, and a 23rd floor lounge called Blue. It's all windows, so you can be up there at night, listen to some great jazz, look out, and see the cityscape. A really awesome experience.
There we go. Chris in Linden Station is with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Julia. I wanted to recommend the Mitchell Park Domes.
Yes.
They're just off of Mitchell Park. It's just off of the downtown. When I was a kid, we used to go down there to see my grandfather and grandmother, and they lived about six blocks from there, so we'd always see the lights. They have these amazing light LED shows that light up the entire three domes, and one dome's got a rainforest in it, the other dome's got a desert in it. And the other one's kind of seasonal. They'll put up a flower display in spring and a Christmas display in the winter. And it was one of the greatest things we ever saw when we were kids. And we still, once a year, when we and my wife go down there, we always go check it out.
What a great idea. And especially when it's cold and snowing, you want to get away from it, you could go inside a nice dome like that, Janine.
Yes, you can, and they're the only ones like it in the world. It's three beehive-shaped, 80-foot-tall geodesic domes with glass panels. Cool little fact is that Lady Bird Johnson actually dedicated those back when they opened in the 1960s. She was a big garden fan, and I like the diversity of it. You're absolutely right. I mean, right now, in the middle of January, after I'm done, I could go to the domes, and I could hang out in a desert, in a tropical rainforest, or see beautiful floral displays, and the great music and light displays that he was talking about. Those are new. It's in the past couple of years, and those are really fun, great family activity.
Janine, we have less than a minute to go. Anything that we haven't talked about that I should be sure to check out when I visit Milwaukee next?
Oh, my gosh, Joy. That's really tough because there are so many things. One of the things I just want to make people aware of at the Milwaukee Public Museum right now, come visit us in the next couple of months because we have the Pirates exhibit, a major exhibit with the only known found pirate ship. You can see pirate treasure, interact with costume guides. So that's something really cool that's coming up. And go to visitmilwaukee.org and check it out. We've got a calendar of events. We've got everything you want to do, from dining to hotels to nightlife. So I'd recommend you follow up with that.
All right. See you soon.
See you soon.
Thanks very much for being with us. Janine Sherman, Director of Public Relations for Visit Milwaukee. And why don't we put a link to Visit Milwaukee on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page so you can check it out too. Thanks a lot for all of your suggestions. I'll report back next month sometime. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.